I finally said yes. This was the most wonderful day which the Lord gave me, when Jesus came into my dark life. This was the most wonderful day when Jesus came into my dark life. Wonderful day when Jesus came into my dark life. This was the most wonderful day which God gave when Jesus came into my dark life. Everything what my heart was longing for. This was the most wonderful day which God ever gave me, when Jesus came into my dark life. Soldiers. God is with us. Faith is the victory which overcometh the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Glorious victory which overcometh the world. victory. Faith is the victory which has overcome the world. I greet you all very warmly, near and far, in the precious and holy name of our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a privilege that we can believe as the Scripture has said. And the scriptural faith is our victory, which has overcome the world. Not some kind of faith, but the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who on the cross of Calvary gave his life for us, shedding his blood, redeeming us. Yes, also all who are translating, we wish you God's richest blessing. And in particular, our beloved brother Andreas Miskis and all the team who are working here in the technique and who are taking care of that all the world can tune in. We are very grateful to our Lord God, and we are also looking back to all these many years. 45 years have passed since we at this place have our monthly meetings, and in particular the last 40 years. We all know, it's well known to all of us, that the enemy was making all efforts to destroy, to make the commission untrustworthy. But the Lord God has given grace. The proclamation could continue, and all could make their decision, whether they believe the divine commission or whether not. Let us also look today into the Holy Scripture. A special day. Remembrance to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And his resurrection is the guarantee for our resurrection. And his ascension is the foundation, the evidence that also we at the rapture we will be taken up to be with the Lord forever. Let us never forget it. It's an eternal redemption. That's how it is written in the Word of God. And it remains like this. The decision of God was to make a new covenant. And this, we said many times, already with Abraham, how the Lord God made a covenant with him. The covenant of circumcision he introduced, as all women bear their children with pain, so to the boys on the eighth day the circumcision was given as a remembrance to that what happened in the Garden of Eden. It was a begetting act which took place there. And two different seeds came forth. But we don't want to go here into details now. Just to say that God's holy word in our time was revealed in such a way as never before. And we thank the Lord for it. We can cry out with all our hearts, Lord, we thank you for the new covenant which you made with us. We thank you for your precious blood which you shed for us. We thank you for all the promises which you have given unto us. And we thank you for eternal life. Just so wonderful that all promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And also that what is written in the Old Testament, for instance, in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, it was announced, after those days, I will make a new covenant with you. This God did. In Matthew 26, we find the most well-known and powerful words of our Lord. This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. Everything was written down for us in the Word of God. And in particular, I would like to greet all our brothers worldwide, all our sisters worldwide, greeting them who are joined with the Lord through Word and Spirit, joined with God. And as I said many times, when a servant of God does not succeed by the preaching to connect the people with God, if they just are connected with Him as the carrier of the divine message, this is not enough. We have the duty, the task, to prepare the way for the Lord. We have the task to join the people of God through the preaching with God. And to it belongs Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our sermon, our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And to it, we can say, whoever in this time, today, believes the preaching of the word, to him the arm of the Lord is revealed. For the right hand of the Lord is upheld, and the right hand of the Lord upholds the victory. And as the singers have sung of the faith, faith is the victory. We believe in our beloved Lord, in the victor of Calvary, in the victor over death and hell and devil, who rose on the third day. We all know about the reports from the Gospels. What happened on the first day of the week our Lord, of course, was crucified on a Friday. On Sunday morning, he rose. And also here, it must be said here, it's not written after 3 days, but on the third day. Also here, one has to listen and read precisely what the Holy Scripture, and as the Holy Scripture gives testimony of that, what took place. And we know that in all churches, in all Christian denominations and fellowships, today the word is being read from John 20, of the resurrection of our Lord. And then we are coming to the question, who of all these people, and these are millions, and again millions, who today are being read what happened on that Sunday morning, on the first day of the week, as the Holy Scripture reports it. Let me, very humbly, let me say, God has not given us a Christian religion, but in Jesus Christ, He pardoned us. He has given us forgiveness. He reconciled us with God. It's not only the remembrance to that what once happened, but that today we can make the personal experiences of salvation with our God, that today we can come and turn to the Lord, repenting, confessing our sin and guilt, asking Him for forgiveness, that today all these personal experiences of salvation we can make by His grace. And then up to John 20, in verse 21, we read, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. This is a very mighty word. At the resurrection, our Lord have seen some. Some have seen Him. We have the reports in the Gospels. But then, the disciples were gathered, and the Lord appeared in their midst, and He spoke out the mighty words, peace be unto you. And then He has given the divine commission, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Just so mighty that our Lord has given the commission directly on the resurrection day, giving the commission to His disciples, apostles. And He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We all know, in all of the Old Testament, the Lord spoke out callings. He has given commissions, whether we go to Moses, to Elijah, all the prophets, they had a commission received from the Lord. And now, in the New Testament, On the resurrection day, the Lord has given the commission to his apostles. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. Brothers and sisters, I'm grateful to the Lord that we now arrived in a period of time where we necessarily have to search the Holy Scripture to know whom did God use in the past 2,000 years? Whom could he send? Whom did God send in our time? Not men who are in preachers' seminars, in Bible schools, who were educated there to then be puffed up and arrogant. No, where and when did the Lord in our time has given a divine commission? And now it's manifested, beloved brothers and sisters, whether we spiritually are in our own world of imagination or whether we recognize the divine plan of salvation, and in particular, the promises for the last period of time in the time of grace before the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In every meeting, it must be said anew that we truly believe according to the Holy Scripture that we arrived at the end of the time of grace. And as at the first coming of Christ, all the promises which referred to it came to their fulfillment, so now all promises find their fulfillment. Because we now arrived in that time. We see it, of course. And in particular, in the last past 2 weeks, 6 weeks, when we think about it, what our Lord said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, what he foretold there of the people of Israel, that they would return into the land of their fathers, returning into the land of promise. And then the Lord, in connection with it, he said, this generation shall not pass until all things took place. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, did our Lord say. What a grace that we may recognize also in that what happens through this virus worldwide, and no one can bypass it anymore, and everywhere there's perplexity, and nothing will be on the earth anymore as it was before. Not in the air, not on the street, not in the business life. Everything will be no more as it was once upon a time. And if we say this is only the beginning of the birth pains which are coming upon the earth, until the up to the perplexity, up to the desperation, things will come upon the earth. And this without exception, doesn't matter what kind of country, what kind of race, what kind of color, all over the earth, visitations will take place. But to the Lord be the thanks. He said, when this begins to happen, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. Let us once again emphasize it. Right on the resurrection day and at the evening, the Lord was with his disciples, gathered with his apostles, and he gave them the commission. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. A divine sending. The proclamation of that, what God ordained for us, for the nations in general, what he foretold for this last period of time. Let us say it once again, and time and again. Everything is written. What would take place before the return of Jesus Christ, and also what would happen afterward, up to the seven wiles of wrath, up to the seven judgments of God, which will come upon the earth after the rapture of the church. Everything is written down in the Holy Scripture, up to the millennial reign of the 1,000 years of our Lord here on this earth, and we with him, up to the promise and the divine fact, Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first were passed away. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, we are living in a very special time. Let me read to it, especially concerning the making of the covenant, concerning the plan of salvation, that we have part in it, and that we just look into the Holy Scripture, reading it up, what God has given us in Christ Jesus by his grace. In Luke 1:72, it says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. God remembers his covenant. We all, of course, in the German language, we have the term marriage covenant. Two meet each other, two agree, they make a covenant, and they swear to be faithful to one another. God made a covenant with us, but you must say yes to this covenant, as in the earthly. A bridegroom asks his bride, he asks her directly, are you ready to make the covenant with me? And she must give her yes. And then the consecration takes place. In the same way it is with us. The heavenly bridegroom asks His earthly bride. Are you ready to make the covenant with me? Are you ready to go and walk with me through all of life? And then we give him the answer, yes, Lord. And then it's written in the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, namely even to them who believe on his name. And concerning making the covenant, especially the terms bride and bridegroom, that's how we have it in Matthew 25. It said very clearly, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who go out to meet their bridegroom. Let me say it here very humbly. Let me not say it loudly. But the Lord will not take a religious whore into glory. He will take a virgin, a bride, which didn't commit fornication with interpretations, which didn't make her dirty, but pure and holy she remained, born again unto a living hope by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. And then we read, those who were ready went in to the marriage supper and the door was closed. For me, this scripture has a very special meaning. Because, of course, it's written right after Matthew 24, where it is written, who then is this faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Today, it's very important that for this, to preach the word ordained for this time, we are not living in the past, we are living in the presence of God. And we are not living in the years 1933 to 1965. This was the period of time which the Lord God has given to our beloved Brother Branham. 1933, giving already the mighty commission from the supernatural cloud, which thousands have seen who were present there at the Ohio River, when this man of God, after his first evangelization, he baptized some in the Ohio River. And then he heard the voice, look up! And once again, look up! And behold, the supernatural light came down, visible for all who were present. And the voice of the Lord sounded from this supernatural light as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. So you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. Brothers and sisters, please understand that I, what God has done in a supernatural way, that I cannot bypass it. I have the divine commission to tell this generation what God has ordained and purposed for this period of time. And to this it just belongs that also all come to know what God has done. And as the Lord at that time has sent John the Baptist, and he could testify, and he could say, he who sent me, he told me, on whom you see the Spirit descending, it is him who baptizes with the Spirit and with fire. And then this man of God could testify of it, that he has seen it with his own eyes, experiencing it personally. And brothers and sisters, please believe me, this what one has seen personally, personally experienced, not imagination, not thinking something, but personally have seen it, personally experiencing it. This remains until all eternity. And as sure as our Lord, right on the first day, on the resurrection day, he said to the disciples, to the apostles, he has given the commission. In the same way, it is happening until the end. God knows whom he has ordained for it and chosen for it. He had a Moses, he had the prophets, he has chosen them, he sent them, and they proclaimed what would take place. And let us say it every time anew. What good is it for us if we would know what God did in the past 2,000 years? If we would not could testify of that, what God is doing in our time. And as we read that the Lord made the covenant in the Old Testament and then in the New. And brothers and sisters, today I brought with me the Ark of the Covenant. You see here, right and left, a cherubim. You see the Ark of the Covenant. And the word revealed by God from the covenant was laid into the Ark of the Covenant. And once in a year, the high priest went with the blood of reconciliation, with the blood of atonement, he went into the Holy of Holies and he laid the blood upon the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, so that the law with the judgment is come to its end, and so that the forgiveness can take place by the blood, and that it could testify. In the same way, our Lord and Savior, as the high priest, he went with his own blood into the most holy place. And he has put his blood, the blood of the new covenant, he laid it upon the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And it's still today on it. Even today, it's on the Ark of the Covenant. Even today, we can come to the Lord. Even today, it's forgiveness time. And if we especially think about it, that our Redeemer walked this difficult way via Gethsemane to Calvary. So we recognize what we were worth to our Redeemer. You and I to redeem us. You and me giving us eternal life to make the covenant with me and with you, brothers and sisters. We are the people of the new covenant. But at that time, and I believe the one songwriter, he expressed it, Paul Gerhard, oh, head of wounds and blood, full of pain and mocking, oh, you head which was scoffed at, crowned with a thorn of crowns, oh, head decorated, but now they are mocking you. Be greeted, beloved. Our Lord loved us. For God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Also, this is very important to know. The Son was not born in eternity by God, but he was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, born, and then he was sent to give the redemption. We don't believe what people are saying, who are claiming the Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Holy Spirit is eternal, Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Ghost is almighty. All these things, we can forget them. We believe only in one single, true, living, eternal God who manifested himself for our salvation as Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on the earth, and in the redeemed church by the Holy Spirit. God as Father above us, in the Son with us, and with the in the Holy Spirit in us, three mighty manifestations of God to accomplish the plan of salvation which he himself purposed in eternity. And to include us into it. Because this was God's decision that he would have sons and daughters in eternity. He wanted to have them. And therefore, the manifestation in the Son, in the firstborn among many brethren. And we, who by grace have experienced the personal redemption, who received the forgiveness, and who have received the assurance to have become the children of God, we have been pardoned as sons and daughters. And let us say it also once again. It's an eternal redemption. God can never take back what he has decided and what he did. And then it's written, God remains faithful, even if we sometimes get unfaithful. God remains faithful. Also, we are going through trials, through tests, but that what God has laid into us, this remains throughout all eternity. I wrote down a large number of scriptures Just the precious scriptures which speak of the covenant which God made with us. I was thinking on Romans chapter 9, verse 4, and then onward in Jeremiah, and then again in the New Testament, all these precious scriptures which we find until Hebrews 8, verse 8 and 10 in particular. Here it is written, Hebrews 8, verse 8, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. No, such a covenant where the word is laid and written into our hearts personally. Here the word personally belongs. As our Lord personally experienced the fulfillment that everything what was referred to him, that it came to fulfillment up to the resurrection on the third day, he could say, destroy this temple and I will in 3 days will rebuild it. He could speak in parables and we understood it, that we may receive and accept what has happened for us. Brothers and sisters, let us also say this once again. We are living in the last period of time before the return of Jesus Christ. Now everything must be included into the proclamation. The evangelistic part, the teaching part, the prophetic part. Now, we must have divine orientation by the word of God. Earthly governments, they are perplexed. We must come back to God and then reading what is ordained for this period of time. And of course, it will take place. So, the gathering of the people of Israel in the land of promise. In circulars, we wrote about it. How many promises have been fulfilled already, and others are in the fulfillment. And if it is about the return of the Lord, then our Savior, in particular, right at the beginning and introduction, he said, beware that you are not deceived. Right in connection with the return of the Lord and with all the signs of the end time. Right at the beginning he said, beware that nobody deceives you. For many will come in my name, false prophets. Some will say they are Christ's as anointed ones. And they will say, Christ is here and Christ is there. Don't believe them. Don't follow them. And then our Lord says, The return of the Son of Man will be as the lightning shines from the east to the west. So shall it be with the return of the Lord. No one will able to say, He has come here or He has come there. No. When the Lord returns, then comes to fulfillment what is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In a company with the trump of God, in a company with the voice of the archangel, our Lord will descend. And then the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will rise. And we, who we are alive and remain, we shall be changed. And we will meet the Lord in the air. Oh, how important it is to read the Holy Scripture, to read it precisely, and to believe it precisely as it is written. And that's how it will take place by His grace. Now for all who are not acquainted, or who are acquainted with the ministry of Brother Branham, it must be said, also here are the most various teachings and interpretations of the statements of Brother Branham. But whoever reads precisely, and I believe there's no man on earth who knows the 1,200 sermons. I have heard them all. Once I heard them. Even twice or three times I heard them. And then I translated them, many. And if there's one man on the earth who actually should know precisely what Brother Branham said, what he meant, what he preached, then I most certainly may raise my hand. I thank my God that the ministry which is now happening really is in direct connection with the ministry of Brother Branham. As then Moses called and led out the people of Israel, and then he could go on Mount Nebo, and he was taken up to be with the Lord, because his grave is not found on the earth. But then we of course seen him again in Matthew 17, Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. But what I actually want to say is, in the singular, with both promises in Malachi 3 and Malachi 4, the first one, the first promise for the first coming of Christ: behold, I send my messenger before me. And the second promise: behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. One has to read it. What Peter wrote and said about the day of the Lord. One has to read what Peter already said in the book of Acts, chapter 2, about this day, in verse 20. One just has to read the Holy Scripture. Now we are still in the day of salvation. And on the day of salvation, God has helped us. When the day of salvation has come to its end, then the day of the Lord breaks forth. And then happens what was foretold. So, at the end of the time of grace, before the sun turns into darkness and before the moon turns into blood, at the end of the time of grace, that's how God purposed it. He gave the promise that somebody would come on the scene as Elijah, who called the people of God together, who rebuilt the altar of God, who put the sacrifice upon it. Yes. Who should cry out, "How long will you jump on both sides? The time is here to make the right decision, to make the covenant." And as I said, from God's side, the covenant was made. A new covenant. And we are the people of the new covenant. We are sons and daughters of God. And we believe everything what is left to us in this new covenant promised. And especially up to the last message, that everything will be restored as it was at the beginning. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church of the living God, made up of sons and daughters of God, pardoned, receiving forgiveness, perfect redemption, perfect deliverance we experienced, receiving the word as the divine seed. And this divine seed sprang up as our Lord and Savior was the seed which was already promised in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, that the seed would come through the woman to bruise the head of the serpent. And Paul lines it out in the epistle to the Galatians, that Christ was this seed, and in him we have the redemption. He was the word which became flesh, and all the promises which referred to him were fulfilled. In the same way, we are now the children of promise. We believe the promise of God for this last period of time, that he has restored all things, everything put in a divine order in the church of the living God. Not one strange doctrine, but the doctrine of the apostles, grounded on Jesus Christ, our Lord, the cornerstone. He is the first and the last. Once again, today is Easter. Today we remember the resurrection of our beloved Lord. Let us say it once again with a grateful heart. As sure as our Lord and Savior walked the way via Gethsemane to Calvary, so as sure as he shed the blood of the new covenant, the divine holy blood, and entering with it into the Holy of Holies to put it upon the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, The blood of the covenant belongs to the word of the covenant, to the ark of the covenant. And the ark of the covenant is open. The word is revealed. Redemption took place. We have become sons and daughters of God by His grace. Let us also say this now, in closing. As sure as Mary believed what was proclaimed to her, and she said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me as you have said. And the word became flesh. The Son of God was born. In the same way it is today with us. We believe what the Lord promised to us. And the Holy Spirit comes upon the word which we received. And He makes a divine reality out of it. And also we crossed from death into life. And we have part in everything what God has prepared for us. And especially to what He is doing right now. Once again, we of course look especially to the past 40 years. And brothers and sisters, we are grateful. We are grateful. The Lord will gather us again. All of us, we will be here where we belong. But all who in all these years are living in the dispersion, they have the same part in that what God is doing right now. And we are really grateful to our Lord for it, that we could carry the last message unto the ends of the earth. And if we may believe what the TV stations are reporting, then we are reaching through the end time message worldwide between 10 and 12 million people who can hear God's holy word now. We don't know how many of them can believe with all their hearts. But one thing we know, to Abraham, the Lord has given the promise as innumerable as the stars are in heaven and as the sand is on the seashore, so innumerable will be your descendants. God will bring in a rich harvest and everything will be wheat without a single tear in it. May God in these days, in these weeks and months of trials, may He keep us, may He give us grace, may He give us wisdom, and that we, as the main thing, that we experience our preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, that we focus on it. Let us say this also once again. As our Lord then said to His disciples, as the Father has sent me, so sent I you. So Brother Branham was sent. And I say it very humbly, when the Lord has given me the commission, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you into other cities to preach my word. You all know my testimony. This I have done in all these past years. More than half of a century, I carried the divine message into all the world. And there will be a rich harvest. A great multitude will have part in the rapture. The Lord God, may He bless us on this day, worldwide. And once again, we thank God and also our brothers who are working in the technique, who are busy there, so that all the world can hear. And we thank our translators who are passing on what God has given unto us. And we are grateful for all brothers and for all sisters who believe worldwide and who experience their preparation unto the glorious day to Him, our Lord and Savior, be the thanks throughout all eternity. Amen. Lord Almighty God, with all my heart, I thank You that we may live now, that You revealed Your word, Your name, Your plan of salvation unto us, that we are joined with You. You made the covenant, the eternal covenant with us. You shed, you placed the blood of the covenant upon the Ark of the Covenant. It speaks for us, and we thank You for it. Beloved Lord and Savior, bless Your blood-bought multitude all over the earth, in all peoples and tongues and nations. Start in New Zealand, where every day starts, where the sun firstly rises, and unto its setting, yes, from the rising of the sun unto its setting, be praised. The name of the Lord be praised. And may all nations tune in, and may they thank You. May they say yes to the covenant which You made with us. May they be joined as a bride with You, the heavenly bridegroom. Once again, I thank You for the blood of the new covenant, for Your precious and holy word, and for the promises which You have given unto us. To You I say thanks, in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready at that hour when God calls His own home? Did you hear the report? How He rewards His own? When He appears in the clouds, in majesty and power, I cannot put it into words. My heart just rejoices and laughs. Wonderful are the streets of gold. Wonderful in the Father's land. Wonderful are His works. Wonderful in white garments. Can you understand this love which Jesus Christ gives you? Are you in peace with him? If Jesus would come today, he has prepared the place for the waiting multitude which is fighting faithfully for him. The promised day is approaching. Wonderful on the streets of gold. Wonderful in the Father's land. Wonderful are his works. Wonderful in white garments. No sorrows anymore. All the mocking and scoffing is over. Jesus wants to love you eternally. This is my slogan. Do you want to go with me? Do you want to see Jesus once? Only he will bring you into this wonderful city. You just need to go to Jesus. Wonderful on the streets of gold. Wonderful in the Father's land. Wonderful are his works. Wonderful in white garments.